You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Almighty God, would you make your Son, Jesus Christ, present to us by the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning, first Sunday of Lent. Very good to see all of you. I've been thinking Lent with Ash Wednesday, this past Wednesday, is a very human time. We hear dust to dust. We feel ashes. We talk about fasting and penitence and repentance, mortality, lots of fun, cheery things, right? No, it's a time, I think, to focus on our humanity and also the humanity of Jesus. And that's what our Mark text this morning has to say. We are awaiting his resurrection, and we're not there yet. At Advent, Jesus comes as a baby, and we know he's going to return as king. And here in Lent, we see him come as a human, tempted, hungry, and in the wilderness. And he comes to say a new day has come in himself. He invites us to turn back to him and receive his presence. And he calls all of this good news. So our gospel text in Mark 1, verses 9 through 15, is on page 6 of your service booklet. And it highlights the miracle of Jesus' human experience, God with us. This is the very beginning of Mark's account of the Son of God on earth. It's a bold and fast-paced gospel, and from the beginning, he makes this message clear. Jesus is God's Son, the King of God's realm, which has just now broken into earth. And in verse 9, we see Jesus traveling to the Jordan River where John the Baptist was baptizing the crowds. The first thing he does is receive baptism from John. He identifies with the people on the banks of the Jordan by receiving baptism just like them. And then notice what immediately happens when Jesus comes out of the water. He sees the presence of God descending like a dove on him, and he hears the voice of God the Father say, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you, I am well pleased." He's immediately wrapped up in the tangible, visible presence of God's triune self-expression. And his identity is affirmed by God the Father. He hears his belovedness explicitly declared. He sees the Spirit like a dove, and I think this must have looked so beautiful. In human experience, isn't this so needed? Do not you and I long to know who we are, where we belong, if we're loved? Remember the last time someone close to you gave you a hug and said, "I'm so glad you're here," or "I'm so proud of you." That affects your person, right? It's remarkable that Jesus, the divine Son of God, was given this same experience. Did he need this affirmation? It's really confusing, feels kind of bold to say Jesus had needs, and yet we see God giving him this connection. It mattered to Jesus' human experience. And so after this, what happens? I'm sure Jesus has this wonderful, peaceful life because he knows God loves him, right? That's how we all live. We know God loves us. Nothing bad ever happens. No. Do you, like me, implicitly think that if I were more secure in God's love, I wouldn't experience troubles? Or if God were really with my kids, they wouldn't get hurt? What we see Jesus experience after this moment at his baptism actually tells a very different story. In verse 12, we see the Spirit at once sent him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. I like that in this passage, Mark simply focuses on the fact that Jesus was tempted. It just happened. He was there for a while. He was with Satan and the wild animals. It draws our focus just to the fact that this was an experience he had. We can't focus, like in Matthew's account, on, well, exactly how did Jesus deal with temptation? That's really relevant and telling, and we need to study that. But the focus of this text is just that he was there, and it's vague. But this is the point. What you and I experience as humans, Jesus has experienced. Jesus, has been in the wilderness too. He's been tempted, and he's been with the wild animals. Reverend Ken Jones was with us as one of our Lenten preachers this week, and Thursday he preached about Jesus' temptation in the wilderness, and I thought, is that the sermon I should preach? But that was his. Go listen to it. It was very great. He pointed out many things, but one that stuck with me is that Jesus did not go into the woods. He purposefully and pointedly went into the wilderness. If you're like me, maybe the woods is a place of comfort and adventure and beauty, maybe even sport. But the wilderness is intentionally barren and dangerous, lacking nourishment. And it's a symbol of those things throughout Scripture. That's the place that Jesus went immediately after his baptism. I don't know exactly what kind of wilderness you're in right now, which wild animals you're facing, which deliverance you're awaiting, or loss you're grieving, which systemic brokenness is oppressing you, or which attack you're undergoing. But in that specific place here that Jesus knows. And he doesn't just know cognitively because he's God who knows all things, but he knows because he's lived it. Jesus has been in the wilderness too, and God was with him there. He took it on himself as a human and God, and he demonstrated that the presence of God pursues us even into the wilderness, even the most dry and barren places. The wilderness is not a place devoid of God. It's not a result of our own failure, but it's the brokenness of the world. Jesus has just experienced a profoundly spiritually connected moment with the triune God, and he went through it in the wilderness for a long time. God, his Father, had just spoken over him, "With you I am well pleased." And yet Jesus was tempted and hungry and alone for a while. Your wilderness and mine, your pain and darkness, is not a result of God's displeasure. Perhaps that's one of the most powerful things about the wilderness, the temptation to believe God is not or cannot be there. Surely a God would not allow this tragedy. Surely a good or real God would not allow this much discomfort. Surely a powerful God would sustain life, create beauty, relieve pain. Yet here I am among the wild animals. Jesus had just had the greatest moment of spiritual life and connectedness, and then the Spirit of God sent him into the wilderness. And I think the Spirit sent Jesus there to bless the wilderness with his presence, to say even there is not beyond God's reach. And Jesus went into the wilderness in order to identify with us. We have a king who has taken on every bit of the human experience in order to redeem it and in order to be with us as we live it. Jesus in the wilderness shows us that Jesus understands what it is like to live through the worst on earth. And this is before he was wrongly executed by the state. He understands being alone. He understands the darkness. And he understands spiritual attack. So that's why he says in verse 15, "Repent and believe the good news." When he declares, "The kingdom of God has come near." The good news of God is that God himself has come to live with us and to make a way for redemption in the wilderness and of all that is not good down here. The king of the kingdom became a common citizen and lived through every bit of what life brings. And because of this, we can trust his love and compassion. That's why he invites us to repent. Turn away, he says. Turn away from being alone. Turn away from feeling like you have to hold it all together all by yourself. "I've been there and I'm with you," Jesus says. God longs to be with you as your comforter, sustainer, and advocate. And our First Peter text says this similar things. Chapter 3, verses 18 explicitly says, "Christ suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, so that he might bring you to God." God's action throughout history has always been to be with people. He went so far as to make that possible by living as a human and ultimately dying and rising from the dead. That's what 1 Peter 3:21 says. You are saved by Jesus' resurrection. Not only did he live through the wilderness, but he lived through death. And now he sits on the right hand of God with angels and powers and authorities in submission to him. He is the exalted king because of his lowering himself for the sake of the world. He faced the enemy in the wilderness, and he proved his defeat of evil by rising from the dead. And he uses that power as he sits at the right hand of God right now to be with you, to comfort you, to intercede for you, and to turn your gaze back to him when all you can see are the wild animals around you. We still live in a broken world. We're not alone. We have advocacy from the one who has already defeated the worst that evil could do on our behalf. So this is the good news. A God who came to take up every part of our human experience in himself in order to bring us to God. That's simply who our God is. And we get to rest in fellowship with God because of God's action, not our own effort. This life is not Survivor. It's not a reality show or contest to see who's the fittest, who's going to achieve, who's going to survive the wilderness, and nobody's getting voted off the island. There's not one winner. God is not waiting for you to perform well enough. He's already brought life from death, and he invites you to receive his life on your his life on your behalf, the righteous for the unrighteous, to rest in his love and his presence. There's not another God like that. So may we be a community that witnesses this presence of God with and to each other through the power of the Spirit as we wait on the day we are free from the wilderness and dwelling in the city of God. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.